the cross friends. Italy too. He was a soldier boy in World War II. He carried his pack. He cleaned his gun. He kept his socks dry in the rain and the mud. He carried dead men off a mountain top. He swam across a river. It was red with his brothers flowed to the sea, the Rapido River in Italy. They fought for freedom, they fought for liberty. Let us not forget to fight against tyranny.
Let us not forget to fight against tyranny. That was a piece by Betty Lou Krause for her father. I believe I've got that right, from the Oyster Crackers. And you are listening to Arts Live and Local on KMUN, Astoria, and KTCB Tillamook. And this is Carol, your host. The Oyster Crackers are going to be doing a benefit concert at River City Playhouse on the 14th. That would be this Sunday from 2 to 4. And River City Playhouse is in El Waco. It's where the Peninsula Players play, and they need heat. So this is a benefit. I'm sure they're doing lots of other kinds of things, but you can hear the wonderful Oyster Crackers, and that's Crystal Mock, Rita Smith, Beck Krause, and now also Phyllis Taylor on cello. And right now, those are all folks. I'm sure they would not mind if I identified them as wise elders, all artists in their own rights. Now we've got a couple of younger ones, and one very younger one, as far as I can tell, and that would be Catherine Lacaze. She's not the very young one. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having us.
You bet. And the very young one relative to us, but she's a high school student, and that is Molly Oyen. Hello, Molly.
Hello.
Okay. Well, Molly and Catherine are here from Astoria High School, the drama. What's the official name of the club or class?
We'll just call it the Astoria High School Theater program.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty safe. And
They
are opening tonight with Arsenic and Old Lace by Joseph Kesselring. I bet a lot of listeners are familiar with this play, but you know, you may have forgotten some things. I certainly had. And so I'm going to let them tell you. Catherine is the advisor and, I believe, director of this play. Yes?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you always direct the high school plays, or are there others, or do students do it, or how does it work?
Yeah, I'm the director of for the Astoria High School, so I do our fall play and spring musical. But I have two other women who are very involved just with the production side. That's Brandy Larson and Angie Talley. Mm-hmm. So they are indispensable.
Absolutely. Well, I've been telling folks that everyone who takes part in one auctions is an important part of the piece. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everyone from, the people backstage moving props and, to playing us, even if you're on stage for a little time. I mean, all that is contributing to making this magic happen that the audience gets to enjoy.
And the tech folks. And yeah. So, Molly, what are you doing in this play? Unless you want Catherine to give the overview of the play, why don't you tell us a little about it and tell us what part you're playing in this production?
Sure. So Arsenic and Old Lace is a show about two elderly sisters who, in order to put older men out of their misery, poison them and hide them in their basement.
I'm not supposed to
they
laugh.
Have... three nephews. There's Teddy, who thinks he's Theodore Roosevelt. There's Mortimer, who is a play critic and is engaged to Elaine. And there is Jonathan, who is also a serial killer.
Oh, God. What is this? Is this a genetic thing or what?
Well, it's kind of hinted throughout the play that it is genetic.
Yeah.
And that everyone in the family has a couple loose screws.
I see. Okay. So what are you doing?
So I'm playing one of the aunts. I'm playing Aunt Martha.
Oh, is that fun?
It is very fun. I love this role. Much fun to play.
I would think so. That would be the part that I would want. Well, of course, that's the part I would get because I am an old lady. What do you have to do to look like an old lady?
What do I do to look like an old lady
in this play?
Oh yes. So I have a wig. It's a very sparkly. It's a very sparkly gray wig.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a kind of older, like Victorian type dress. It's green and I wear an apron.
Okay. And do they put makeup on your face too, or you put makeup on?
I put makeup on. I haven't really done any wrinkles yet, but I think I will tonight.
Okay. And let's just tell folks, I said it's opening tonight, it's playing tonight and tomorrow night, and then next week, Friday and Saturday, at 7 p.m. for each show. And I think, do you get tickets at the door? We don't go into prices, but just go to the high school?
Yes, that's correct. We just sell them at the door. Cash or checks are preferable, and it's $10 for adults and $5 for kids.
Okay. So, Catherine, why did you choose this play? Considering it's funny, but it's also like, ew.
It is. I mean, it is a dark comedy for sure, but it is a classic. Yes. Cary Grant was in the movie, and I think it's really funny. It's very fitting for this time of year. You know, it's all dark and stormy outside.
Mm.
And I'm really thinking about the kids that I have and their kind of talent for comedy and like comedic timing. And I just thought it would be a good fit to kind of highlight their strengths. And so I'm excited for people to see that.
How many students are playing?
13 in the cast.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think about that, so I'm glad you mentioned it, that as the adult and the faculty, you don't just choose a play you like, as you might in a regular theater, and then do auditions. You also look at the students. So are these students all taking a theater class, or is it extracurricular, or how does it work?
The fall play and the spring musical are both extracurricular activities. So they're open auditions. Any high schoolers can do them, even if they're not taking the drama class, which is actually taught by another teacher at the high school. And so, yeah.
Right, because you have a very nice, I should say, a day job with a wonderful organization.
I do.
Yes, you do. So you aren't teaching, but you are still directing, which is wonderful. You used to also, or you have, worked with young children. Are you still doing that, or will that happen again, do you think, sometime?
I think it definitely will. It's a pandemic, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of sent us all into hiatus for a little bit on that. But I love working with children, especially in a theater capacity. So I hope to provide more opportunities to youth throughout Crawford County, hopefully in the coming year.
Good, good. I admire and applaud that you are doing this because, to my mind, it's one of the most important things we can do is to offer the arts in the schools. And I think theater is especially fabulous. And I'm going to send this one out to Lena Zahara, who is actually opening tonight, doing tech on her first production in Olympia. So it's not competing, but it's exciting to have. Kids
do it.
Yeah. So Molly, why did you choose, and how long have you been doing theater, and what do you like about it, or why did you choose it?
I've been doing theater pretty much since I was a little kid, since I was about 3. I've always enjoyed it. I like being able to get together with other like-minded individuals and like tell a story on stage. I think it's really fun. And I love being able to play different characters. I think the costumes are cool and the set's always awesome. And the people are wonderful who do theater. They're like a second family.
I agree. So from your name, I'm figuring you are from a local family, Oyen. And so you grew up in the schools around here. Where did you start doing theater at 3, besides in your kitchen? And when it was time to go to bed, that's definitely theater also. But it's a little different.
I've lived here my entire life. The first like real theater I did was an acting camp over the summer. I played a fish.
Cool.
And you know, over time, I just kept doing more and more.
Because it felt good.
Huh?
Because it felt good, or because it was
yes. Because I love it.
Yeah.
At first, it was just something I did because it was good to have something to do. But a couple years ago, I got an opportunity to play a really cool role, and I just kind of fell in love with it more from then.
What was that?
I was Peter Pan in Peter Pan.
Whoa. Nice. Nice. So what year are you in school?
So I'm a sophomore right now.
Okay. So you've got time.
yeah.
Sometimes I wonder but it sounds like you are really on a path, whether some of the seniors who are doing theater will carry it with them, whether they go to college or they get a job, although college can be a job, but whether they keep doing theater. So you've still got a couple more years right here in Astoria to take
advantage. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Which is good for us and good for you. Catherine, are you working on any other theater productions with any other groups, or you'll wait till spring?
I'll probably, wait till spring. Kind of this, I just got done doing a show, I'm acting in a show, and then really been focusing on this, as, you know, getting back into it after being away for so long, and kind of the demand that it takes on me and everyone else. It was great acting, and I'm really ready to be back on stage, and I'm ready to direct again. Hopefully soon.
What play were you in?
I was in The Picture of Dorian Gray down at the Coaster Theater.
Right. And you were?
I was Dorian Gray.
Exactly. And I interviewed you about that, but sadly, I was unable to get to Cannon Beach, so I really wanted to see that play. So it's good to know that theater is happening. It's alive and well all over the place these days, and that's fantastic for all ages. So thank you so much for coming in. Molly, break a leg, but don't really. I mean, considering the play you're in, Good heavens, sorts of craziness happens. So you know what that means. So, and Catherine, thank you so much for keeping going. I know there's a lot going on tonight in your world. So in your various worlds. So I'm going to mention that later. So thanks both of you for coming into Arts Live and Local.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Okay. And I have some music for you folks to bring us to my next guest. But I do want to let you know that speaking of theater, the Riverbend Players opened last week at the North County Recreation District in Nehalem, NCRD, with Steel Magnolias. And they called the station just now and said that tonight's performance is canceled. So if you had a ticket for tonight for Steel Magnolias, you can either get a refund or rebook. So get in touch with NCRD and the Riverbend Players. As of now, they're still scheduled for tomorrow, but stay tuned to them, not to us. So, the Tillamook County Cultural Grants folks, if you want to do something like this, put together some kind of a performance or an arts happening, you can get in touch until 11/15. That's November 15th is the deadline for the Tillamook County Cultural Grants. The Clatsop County closed at the end of October. And don't forget the Clatsop Animal Assistance, fundraiser that's going on. And also, the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum has a wonderful fundraiser for them called Out the Window. And it is art from many different artists. And they are open only until the 13th. So you can either get over there or you can just go to their website, CPHM, Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. All the images are on the web. You can take a look and you can make your bids. I went over there, and that's, of course, delightful. My next guest is almost here, so let's hear some music from the Heritage Trio. Wow. It's hard to turn these folks down, but this is Sergei Antonov on cello and Ilya Kazantsev on piano with Karl Davidov's At the Fountain, which, considering what's going on in the weather outside, may be applicable. And here to talk about why I might have chosen this piece is our good friend Jennifer Crockett, the executive director of the Liberty Theater, with a very exciting event tomorrow. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm nice and dry in here. So that's a good thing. I didn't make it dry. All sorts of things are turning up quite wet, and that's not a good thing when they're paper. You know what I mean? So, what's happening at the Liberty?
We have two super exciting things coming up. We have our virtual gala tomorrow night, and then the Hermitage Piano Trio is coming on Tuesday night.
Man, you know how to pack it in, don't you? Okay. Well, I got a call today from a good friend who said, okay, I'm a little confused. I heard that Sergei Antonov is playing with Israel Nebuchadnezzar, and I went to the Liberty, and I don't see anybody. And so I said, First of all, listen to Arts Live and Local today. And Jennifer will tell you everything. But also, I explained that Sergei is kind of doing double duty, one virtual and one live. So how's the virtual working and who's invited?
Yeah, anyone can watch. It's streaming two different places. It'll be on our website tomorrow night at 7. And it will also be on our Vimeo page, because most people probably remember that last year our website was overwhelmed with all of the viewers. So we have a second place to watch just in case that happens again. And so Sergei and Israel are playing as part of our gala in this really amazing piece. When Sergei was in town, we asked if the two of them would spend an afternoon and play together. And what came out of it is just really wonderful. Mm. And then a few weeks ago, Sergei reached out because his trio was playing in Newport. And they said, you know, we're so close to Astoria, we'd love to come in for just one night. So we invited them up. They'll be spending Tuesday night with us live on our stage.
And is that... that's the whole trio, the piano trio.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So that includes, of course, the piano and the violin. So let's go back a little bit, though. Sergei and Israel were not strangers.
No. Yeah, they've been friends for a while, and they've collaborated a bunch of times. And Israel was here for the Third Dimension Festival. And so, yeah, it was a perfect opportunity to have them both in town and on the stage for our gala.
Okay, what else is happening at the gala? And when is it?
Yeah, so tomorrow night at 7 on our website. And we have a couple of testimonials from Mayor Bruce Jones is speaking. And Jessamine West from Astoria Arts and Movement Center is speaking. And we have a really exciting announcement to make on the gala. You have to watch it. The Liberty has a major gift that has been given to us to start a brand new program, and I'm not going to say what it is, but it's the first of its kind on the North Coast.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we've been really careful. We haven't. So, Carol, you as a volunteer, you haven't even heard it yet.
That's right. I haven't. Now you really got me curious. Yeah. Wow. Very exciting. So that is 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. And again, it's the website, which is libertyastoria.org or Vimeo. I don't know how you do that.
It's okay. If you go to our website, you can find the gala, and it has all the places that you can watch.
So good.
LibertyAstoria.org/gala or from our main page. We've tried to make it really obvious so you can find us.
Good. And, of course, this is a fundraiser. We won't go into that. But, folks, this is a great opportunity to pitch in on one of our fabulous arts venues. And then the concert, I was kind of curious. How did the Hermitage Trio get to Newport, Oregon? What is that?
Yeah, they're coming out for a string of shows. And like I said, they wanted to spend a night in Astoria before they have to head back.
But where, I mean, they're from New York and Boston. Of course, grew up in Russia. So where did they hear about Newport, Oregon?
Newport has the New Performing Arts Center. I believe it's called the Newport Performing Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a state-of-the-art concert hall in Newport. It's beautiful. And so they did a string of shows out there over the summer before they came up to see us for the Third Dimension Festival. And they're playing there again, I believe, on either Saturday or Sunday night, and then coming up the coast.
That's great. So you can get tickets for the Tuesday night show. Are those tickets on the website?
Yes.
Liberty website? Okay. And that will be, what time is that show on Tuesday?
That one's also at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's an exciting week for happenings. What else is going on at the Liberty? You haven't Oof. Yeah, I know. I know.
We've been getting back into the swing of things, really. It's December is coming up, and we have a wide array of a lot of our community groups are coming back. And mm-hmm. so we've got a couple of offerings from the Columbia Symphony Orchestra and, the local symphony.
The Columbia River Symphony.
Columbia River, yes.
Right.
Columbia River Symphony. We have Santa is coming back to our kiosk this year. Yeah, we're excited about that. Mm-hmm. We're showing a couple of holiday films. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, we saw the North Coast Symphonic Band come back. So it's been really nice to...
Yeah, that was beautiful with Sparrow Dance as well.
So yeah.
That was very exciting to have that combination. So wonderful. Okay, folks, so you can check out, again, libertyastoria.org is the best place to go to get all your information. And then check in tomorrow night. It's a short program, so you might even take in two different things. Who knows? It's possible. And then back to normal sites, because this is virtual tomorrow night, and then live on the 16th. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for keeping things going out there helping to provide our community. I'm a little distracted because I'm trying to figure out what could she be talking about. What is this mystery gift? How exciting. I love it.
I'm happy. It's Larry Bryant's dream come true. That's my hint.
Okay. I think I know what realm it's in. Then I'll say no more. How fab. Okay. Yes. Take care. Thanks so much, Jennifer Crockett, the executive director at the Liberty Theater. And again, just like we were talking with Astoria High School theater production, it takes beyond a village to put these productions on. And so you too can get involved in some of these, whether you want to wait until the pandemic is over or you want to check in on the website and contact someone and say, what can I do to help? So I'm an usher there, and it's very gratifying.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care and have a great weekend. Okay.
You too.
Bye. Wow. Wonders never cease. Well, it's true. And I have some music from Barbara Gaidach, Barbara Ann folk singer. She showed up, I can't even remember when, it's a few years ago, time has become so fluid, at the Garlic Festival in Clatskanie, and I really enjoyed her music, and so I asked her to come in and play. That was in the days, and they will come again, when we could have live music here on KMUN, and then she came out with her own album, and now she will be playing at the Peninsula Arts Center on the 17th. And you can go to their website. They've got lots of stuff happening there. And here's Barbara. And then stay tuned. I'll let you know what else is happening around here. And I've got one more guest coming, a very special guest. Pretend you're near.
close my eyes, then wipe away my tears. I feel your arms around me in the smoothness of your face. Just right.
Yeah. Well, that was Barbara Ann focusing her. And this is Carol here with Arts Live and Local on KMUN. It's November 12th. And I wanted to send out healing, especially to Linda. Linda. Real loss there. Lori, Debbie, and Caroline. To Helen and Ellen and Lisa, yes, the one and only, and Susie, to Jeff, our friend, and his sister Pam, and to Judith. And to you, for any kind of healing, whether it's for the loss of someone you love, or your health, or your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, healing for the lives of all, healing for the earth, and a happy birthday while we're at it That could heal everybody. That goes to Jen Holen and you, if the time is right. And of course, shout out to Squamish, which may not be in my book very much longer, so I'm enjoying saying Squamish one more time. Folks, there's still lots going on. Tomorrow night, the Heart of Cardam has a repair cafe. This is Saturday. Cannon Beach Library from 2 to 3 has fabulous author Deborah Reed. She was on the show a while back with her newest book, Pale Morning Light with Violet Swan, which I found very powerful and beautiful. It's part of the Northwest Authors Series. It's virtual, CannonBeachLibrary.org. And Consejo Hispano, along with OSU Extension, is putting on a resource fair from 11 to 5 tomorrow at the Columbia River Maritime Museum in Astoria. Food, music, vaccinations, resources. And then, of course, there is Astoria Art Walk, which is huge these days. Also, the Art Loft has a card extravaganza as part of that. We got the, in addition to the Art Loft, the Astoria Coffee House is featuring the work of Dulcie Taylor. Yeah, I love her stuff. What fun. And the Astoria Institute of Music and the Center for the Arts. The Astoria Visual Arts with OFAL. That should be interesting. Photography and gleaned objects. Bridge and Tunnel Bottle Shop, Brute Wine Bar, all of these places are having art enlighten their themselves and their clients. And then the galleries, Brumfield Gallery, 1033 Marine Drive, which is filled with wonderful art. Cambium Gallery, also 1030 Duane, right next to the Astoria Visual Arts, and beautiful place. These are fantastic. And you know who just moved? Cargo Astoria. They're huge now, and you can actually walk and maybe even dance in them right next door to the coffee house on 11th and Marine Drive. And I'm going to zip down to see Forsythia. And of course, Imogen has portraits. And Kits Apothecary and the Lower Columbia Q Center. McVarish Gallery, That's What She Said. That's the name of the show. Montiki, Monk Tiki, Oscar DeMasi Art Gallery, Paul Paulson Studio Gallery, and Riversea Gallery featuring the fabulous Marie Powell and the fabulous Penny Treat, both from the peninsula, and brighten your day. One that I didn't mention is Foragers, and that's for a reason. They are hosting multimedia artist Brad Reef, but my next guest also has a connection with Foragers, so I'm going to bring in my guest, and that is Autumn Hurd. Hi, Autumn.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, I'm sorry I didn't have your, you on, so you didn't hear what I was saying. But I just mentioned, and I hope I'm right, so you'll have to correct me if not, that you have a connection with Foragers. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a resident artist inside the space.
Okay, so now let's go backwards and let's introduce Autumn Hurd, who to a lot of us here needs no introduction because she's been part of our life for a long time, but not as an artist. She was a child. And then she started presenting theatrical pieces, and suddenly she appeared on my radar as a visual artist. She appeared because she's now in my living room. And, well, not Autumn, but her artwork. So, Autumn, you weren't born in Astoria, were you?
I was, yep, in 94.
In what year, 94?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God. My heart goes pitter-patter. Autumn is, if you don't mind my saying, Autumn is the daughter of Nancy Montgomery and Tim Hurd. How could she not become an artist with such artistic family? And, of course, her brother Jacob, who plays music. So when did the... I just sort of gave an overview, but when did you start making visual art?
In high school is when I really started here at Astoria High School with Mr. Cherugino, and I fell in love with portrait art and acrylic painting. And then I went on to take different art classes in college and really fell in love with it. And then just, you know, realized that it was all that made me happy, and that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And so now I'm doing it.
Ah, yes. Of course, folks, yes. She does have a day job that pays the bills, so that would be necessary as what we would call an emerging artist. You mentioned portraiture. Is it all painting, drawing? I know you write some poetry too. What else? How do you express?
I don't do poetry. I used to do graphite portraits and acrylic portraits, and I've now moved on to digital art.
Oh.
I'm able to use a program called Procreate to do digital logos, sticker designs, clothing designs. I still do a lot of portraits as well. That is my one true love, is figure drawing, so I still try to do that every now and again.
Nice. Could you tell us a little about Foragers, because I am not. I think I know where they are. Is that downstairs in 10th and Marine?
Yes, we're down in the Hidden Underground, right by Kids Apothecary and Weird Sisters. So we're down in the underground. It's a mushroom-themed retail store and creative space.
Mm.
So we have three different resident artists. Myself, Jazz North Coast, she also does digital art. She does mushroom-themed illustrations, so mm-hmm. she does characters with heads of mushrooms of all different kinds. And then we have Northwest Woodshop. His name is Nick Danielson. He is also a local woodworker, so he has made all the furniture in our space, and he has a whole section of his own cutting boards and other pieces of wood art he makes. And then Kit from Kit's Apothecary is also a part of our space as well. So we have little areas of all of our own art that we make, and then we have a retail space where we feature other local makers and creators and small businesses inside of Foragers. So
do you have the entire... Well, I know you don't have the entire, because I just went to the United Way of Clatsop County. I was lucky enough to win some of their items from their fundraiser, and they're in that space too. So how much of the downstairs, that is really a secret area for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not aware of it. How much of that space do you folks take up?
So I think there are about 6 businesses down in the underground. So we have, I think it's maybe the largest space. It's right in the middle. So there's kind of a hallway that goes all the way around the island of Foragers, which is its own little shop inside of the underground. So it's like a little mall down there, kind of.
Right. That's so funny. Yeah. An art mall. How nice.
Yes.
That's great. And how much time are you able to spend on your art?
Basically, every free moment I have that I'm not working at the coffee roaster as their wholesale account manager, I'm working on my art. So every weekday evening and Friday through Sunday, I'm spent at Foragers and working on commissions and things.
So were you a kid who kind of doodled or sketched or any of that kind of stuff? I mean, did you ever think that this might be what made you happy in your path in life, visual arts?
I always knew that it made me happy. I was definitely always doodling. I was a very distracted student. I was always drawing and reading my own things instead of working on my school assignments. Sorry, teachers. But I think I always dreamt of doing something like this, but I never really thought that I would make it happen. But, you know, as the years go by, you build confidence in yourself and you stop putting up with things that don't make you happy anymore. So.
Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good life lesson. And was that an evolution? The realizing I don't need to be doing this anymore because it doesn't make me happy.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it takes years of relearning and changing your mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say years, but if my calculation is correct, you're only 27. So you're way ahead of the game. I mean, some people don't come to this realization until they're in their 60s. And it's like, what have I been doing all my life? So congratulations for making that happen. So how does it work with the Foragers? I did just announce that one of your artists is featured this tomorrow night during Astoria Art Walk. Does that sort of go around, or do you decide when you're ready and you'd like to be the featured artist?
So we have other artists that'll come and do pop-ups every art walk.
I see.
So in a way, myself, Jazz, and Mick are always featured because we're always inside of Foragers. Mm-hmm. So we kind of take every opportunity that we can to bring other artists and creators into the space to give them the chance to shine. So tomorrow is Brad Reef Designs, who is actually Mick Danielson's cousin. So he's coming in, and he is a multimedia artist that does some wood burnings, and he has some paintings, all kinds of fun things.
Yeah, so the piece that was featured is, that must have been a woodcut. It's quite attractive, very strong, so sounds good. So Art Walk is, these days in Astoria, is 12 till 8. I don't know if you guys stay open the whole time, or do you know how that's going to be?
Generally, we do. It kind of depends on how busy the night goes. But tomorrow, Brad will be there from 5 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll be open from 12 until 8 p.m., but our pop-up artist will only be there from 5 till 8.
And is the best way to get there, you tell me, what's the best way to get downstairs? Because I know there are several different ways. If somebody wants to join you folks.
There's an entrance on Marine and 10th Street. So it's right on the corner there, a kitty corner to the Maritime Museum. So you walk in those double doors right in the front. You just go down the stairs, and you'll see us immediately when you walk down the stairs. We're right across the little courtyard that's in there.
Okay, and that's, again, 10th and Marine, Foragers. So what kind of stuff do you have hanging there? Is that your studio space as well as showing space?
Yes, it is. It's all in one, so it's very fun.
That is terrific. And the location is wonderful, too. Not too far from the coffee roaster, so you can take off.
It's a hidden gem, for sure.
Yeah, well, I think Michael Foster developed that underground area. I'm not sure, maybe not, back a long time ago, but it never really took off. There was a fabulous tea place down there and several other things, but it stayed hidden. And nowadays, I think, of course, there's the Jill McFarish's gallery, which she had called the Secret Gallery. So that's upstairs, but in that same area. All of 10th Street has quite developed into an art section of Astoria, which is exciting. So, Autumn, you see making art for the rest of your life?
I sure hope so. That's the plan.
Yes. Okay. And do you ever take classes, since you said it was Mr. C who kind of got you started on the path? Do you take any classes up at the college, for example, or do you see new, or online, or anything? In other words, do you see new ideas for making art, or do you just discover them in your own work?
I haven't taken any classes recently since COVID happened. I was taking a pottery class from Audrey Long down at Cambium before everything shut down, and that was amazing. She's a great teacher.
Wonderful.
I have taken classes from Kristen Schock at the college here. Highly recommend her figure drawing class. That was phenomenal. I loved that class so much. But it's been a few years since I've taken an art class at the college.
Well, you know, you may be the perfect person to head up to the college, you and everybody else listening, but considering your background and foreground these days, Clatsop College has a double exhibit, and part of it is combined an artist and a developmental psychologist. So you can go up there, look at the art, take your cell phone with you, and take a little tour and give some feedback on what art does for you. And it was fun. And you get a print as a thank you gift, but the most so that's way up at the top of the hill for the, but I'm just thinking it would be in, because they do ask, are you involved in the arts and visual arts? And I said, nope, but you would say, yep. So I am very pleased and delighted to see, to know where you've come from and to see where you come to. And I'll be watching. So,
thank you, Carol.
Autumn, thank you so much for joining us here on Arts Live and Local. Is that music yours?
Nope, that's yours.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. I don't know where it's coming from, but it sounds beautiful. So, thanks so much for being with me.
Yeah, thank
okay.
you, Carol.
Bye bye now. Wow, there's some magic going on here, folks. I don't know where it's coming from, but magic. I want to thank Susan Banyas because I drew her magic card last night. So I guess that's part of the deal. What else is going on? Jan Bono. Wow, it sounds like Kim Angelus, but that's, I bet, what it is. And so, I will get back to that. So, Jan Bono, she was on last week. She is got a one-woman book fair on Sunday from 10 to 2 at the Peninsula Arts Center. And the River City Playhouse, we heard, the Oyster Crackers, and the Neatel Grange. Or Natel Grange from 3 to 5 on Sunday has a meeting. Vaccinations and masks, everybody's welcome. Tuesday is the Hermitage Trio at the Liberty, and Thursday is the Great American Smokeout, and it's also PEO Holiday Treasures at the Seaside Elks. And I know, got to some music to commemorate this month being Native American Heritage Month. I want to thank you all for being here with me.
Listen to the skies.
John Trudell.
Listen to the sun. Something on the land. Something going down. professors,